T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, this is WCBS 880 Morning Sports anchor Brad Heller. Well, the 2020 baseball season, the main story right now, the main story probably throughout the entire season, will be the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal and Cadence 13, part of the Entercom family. There will be a podcast coming out about the scandal. It'll be written and hosted by Sports Illustrated's Ben Ryder, who has a long history, if you will, with the Astros, wrote a book called Astro Ball covering the 2017 championship team and his prediction on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in 2014 that the Astros were going to win the World Series. So Ben's working a lot on this podcast in conjunction with the creators of Slow Burn. There's also a TV series in development, and Ben is nice enough to give us a few minutes now. Ben, first of all, thank you for joining us. You're a busy, busy guy. We do appreciate it. I mentioned it a little bit, but for those who don't know, take us back, your background with the Astros, how you first kind of got involved covering them that led to this Sports Illustrated cover story and then eventually the book.
Well, it's certainly been quite a decade for the Astros. Back in 2014, as a writer for Sports Illustrated, I went down to Houston to report on what was then the worst baseball team in half a century, really since the expansion New York Mets, as so many people in the tri-state area will remember. I came away thinking that not only did they have a plan to reverse their fortunes, but it was a very good plan. It was a new plan. It was one that leveraged analytics in a new way, combined it with human observation to get the best out of both man and machine as far as building the team, evaluating players, executing on-field strategies. It was in many ways more like a Silicon Valley tech startup than a baseball team. I obviously thought that it felt promise after having spent some time down there. Wrote a cover story predicting that 3 years later, this terrible team would win the World Series, which they did. Of course, over that time, I continued to report on their rise. Look, to be perfectly honest, the way that things have played out over the past couple months is something that I could have never predicted, even after having spent so much time with them.
So given your background and given the Sports Illustrated cover story, the book that followed, the Astros win it all, now we have this sign-stealing scandal and the punishment laid down from the commissioner's office. What was your reaction to it all when the story broke and then what Rob Manfred decided were the ultimate penalties for the sign-stealing?
I mean, I was probably more surprised than anybody about the initial revelations of their sign-stealing, of the coordinated scheme they were executing, particularly in 2017. When you step back and you start to think about how it might have happened, though, it makes more sense. This was an organization that was devoted to finding a competitive edge in everything it did, you know, marginal advantage over its competition in all ways. It's not impossible to imagine a process by which that culture started taking on some dark undertones, or overtones, I should really say, a dark side. Obviously, their pursuit of an edge went too far. Exactly why that happened, how it happened, and what it means for baseball and really, you know, the sporting world at large is going to be a big thing I'm going to be investigating over the next several months in my podcast and documentary.
Because all teams are looking for a competitive edge, and it's the fact that the Astros used the electronics, used the video replay system to get that extra edge that led to the penalties from the commissioner. There's been a lot of criticism from Rob Manfred in his office that players weren't punished because he called the system player-driven, yet no players were punished. I mean, what's the commissioner supposed to do? Because, I mean, how do you kind of track which players were involved, how much they were involved? Some of the 2017 Astros aren't on the Astros anymore. So it really seems like it's a slippery slope with regards to the punishment.
It is. And perhaps the second most surprising thing about this for me, besides the initial revelations, was the pure anger, the outrage among other Major League Baseball players directed towards the Astros players. This is not something we usually see as a dynamic within baseball, one set of players turning on another. In some senses, I think their outrage was justified. This was, in part at least, a player-driven operation, and the players seem to have gotten off relatively unscathed, although they'll certainly be booed in every single ballpark they travel to this season. On the other hand, you also understand Commissioner Rob Manfred's motivation to offer the players immunity in exchange for their open testimony. He had some union limitations he was dealing with. And also, as you say, when you start to punish the players, it would open up a Pandora's box, really. You don't know how far those punishments would go, how many players would be involved. A lot of the players implicated with the Astros now play for other teams, so you'd be punishing them too. Perhaps you're going to find evidence that other teams were engaging in activities like this. I think Rob Manfred did the logical thing by limiting the punishments to where they currently stand, although you do understand players' anger about it.
And one of the Astros that's on another team is Mike Fiers. He was the whistleblower in this whole thing, bringing the story to The Athletic, and that's the reason why we know about this. That's how it became public, really. Obviously, you mentioned your reaction when first hearing about the sign stealing, but the fact that it came from somebody like a Mike Fiers, who was now pitching in the division, pitching against this Astros team as they are potentially trying to steal signs from him.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's brave what Mike Fiers did. I think it's admirable. As a journalist, I'm always in favor of getting the truth out there versus clamming up about it or kind of maintaining these secrets for the sake of, I don't know, code of conduct within various organizations. I will say that I hope that the investigation will expand. I don't think, and nobody thinks, that the Astros were the only organization engaged in these sorts of activities. It's certainly possible that they were the most advanced at it, that they weaponized this sort of sign stealing to a degree that no other organization did. But another thing that is my aim in this project that I'm embarking on is to uncover the full scope of these activities in Major League Baseball, not in any way to exonerate the Astros or to excuse what they did, but to provide the public with a full understanding of the dynamics that were at play in Major League Baseball, at least back around 2017.
Now, the book you wrote about the Astros winning the World Series called it Astro Ball, The New Way to Win It All. How do you think this scandal and what we know of it so far affects how fans see what Astro Ball really means? Because it's certainly not the whole story. I mean, you followed this team for years, and the franchise's rise to the World Series and becoming a champion. There are a lot of reasons why, but people and fans, unfortunately, are going to remember the sign stealing as the biggest part of it.
That's certainly understandable, and clearly the new way to win it all included more factors than I initially imagined or that I initially discovered. I do think that two things can be true at once. One being that the Astros did engage in this illicit sign stealing operation that virtually undoubtedly helped their efforts to win a championship. Two, I think it's possible that at the same time, a lot of their innovations helped as well and are still good ones and applicable ones, and we can learn from them as far as the process they implemented that lifted this terrible organization into a very good one. My view is they just went too far, and I certainly understand if everybody's going to remember them for being fraudulent. The story's more complicated than that.
Sports Illustrated's Ben Ryder was spending a few minutes with him. He's going to write and host a podcast for Cadence 13, part of the Entercom family, about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. The one player mentioned in the commissioner's report, he's not playing anymore, Carlos Beltran, which is why the Mets were indirectly linked to this, because Beltran was the Mets manager at the time. Not anymore, though. His stint after 2 months, he was let go because of everything involved with this scandal. Ben, it comes out after we see some reports that Beltran was maybe the godfather of this scandal, what his involvement was, and maybe the kind of effect he had as a veteran in that clubhouse that some players maybe wanted to stop and he wanted them to keep going. Some of these stories that you've been hearing about Beltran, how does that compare to the Beltran that you got to know that one season he spent in Houston in 2017?
Well, the depiction of Beltran in some stories is really the one thing that I find very hard to believe, or at least to square with my understanding of who he is as a player, as a person in the clubhouse. And that's not just coming from him. That's coming from all of the people that he played with. The idea that he was some sort of domineering, intimidating veteran who threw his weight around, who kind of, you know, took power away from A.J. Hinch, I don't think that's true. The players loved him in that clubhouse. They respected him. You know, I think he probably was one of the leaders of, you know, the sign-stealing effort. But I think kind of the nefarious intent that has been attributed to him has really been off base. And again, exploring his role in this whole thing is a big aim of mine as well. He certainly paid a significant price, perhaps a significant price as anybody, for being involved in the sign scandal by, first of all, having his reputation tarnished, being embarrassed, and losing, you know, a dream job as the Mets manager.
Now, we saw that Jose Altuve, in his first spring appearance, he gets grazed with a pitch. The Astros are getting booed wherever they go. I mean, this, and they're taking on an us-against-the-world mentality. This 2020 season, it's going to be must-see, it seems like. Every game the Astros play, home or away, I mean, this is must-see baseball.
It's ironic, isn't it? One of Rob Manfred, the commissioner's top aims ever since he came into office, was to put baseball at the top of the sports pages. You know, it felt as if it was losing ground to the NFL and the NBA. How do we develop the sort of stars and storylines that will capture the public's attention again? I don't think he would have chosen this as a way to do it. In fact, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have, but there is no doubt that baseball is at the top, is the top headline, and it has been most days this offseason. And wherever the Astros go this season, it's going to be a must-watch, not for reasons necessarily the commissioner would have wanted.
Now, all of this, of course, sets the stage for the podcast, the TV series in development as well. I mean, I'm early stages for you. We're looking at summer 2020. What can you tell us? I mean, what are you most excited about learning? I mean, this scandal could run so deep here. I mean, there's potential. We've seen rumors and there's been allegations of the sign stealing and cheating continuing beyond 2017, maybe even into last year. All the reports about maybe buzzers, this and that, electronic, other things that the Astros could have used. What are you looking forward to the most as you dive into your reporting here? I mean, you could spend probably hours and hours and hours going through all these things.
You just listed a lot of them. I mean, believe it or not, we've heard so much of this story for the past couple of months. There is a lot more to be told. There are a lot more angles to explore. There are a lot more on-the-ground circumstances that have to be teased out. You know, I'm working with the producers of the great podcast and now TV show Slow Burn. What those guys are expert at is looking at historical incidents like Watergate and the Bill Clinton impeachment, things that the public thinks it has a strong understanding of, and shedding new light on them and approaching them from new angles. Now, this is obviously a much more recent scandal than, say, Watergate, but we're going to take the exact same approach, just getting started here. But I'm excited for everything we're going to unveil, perhaps change what seems like a pretty set-in-stone understanding of what happened and what it all means.
Well, I'm personally a big fan of the Slow Burn podcast, so really looking forward to what you guys are going to be doing with this Astros sign-stealing scandal with Cadence 13, part of the Entercom family. Summer 2020, the Astros sign-stealing scandal, Sports Illustrated's Ben Ryder. Ben, thank you very much for a few minutes. Good luck with the podcast, and all of us are looking forward to it.
Thanks, Brad. Really appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.